This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Fox News Podcast presents Brett Baer's All-Star Panel.
America's got to be in the lead if you want to deal with these threats. We're going to lead.
The morning is over. The Shiva is done. And if you're a conservative, you should be optimistic.
You know, my main priority right now is making sure that it delivers for the American people.
We have to make our country great again, and I will do that.
I think the president gets criticized by people all the time for the stuff he says, by people who ignore what he does.
Now, Fox's chief political anchor, Brett Baer.
Indiana and Ohio voters head to the polls today as the state's parties hold primary elections for this year's Senate and House races. While his name is not on the ballot, the weight of former President Trump's endorsement will be tested in Ohio, as Trump-backed Senate candidate author J.D. Vance is only slightly favored in what looks like it was going to be and is going to be a wide-open race.
And I think he watched the race very closely. He watched the debates that we had very closely. And he just started to think that I was the only candidate who could actually take the fight to the Democrats successfully.
Meantime, a leaked initial draft of a majority opinion written by Supreme Court Justice Samuel Alito shows the Supreme Court may be poised to overturn Roe v. Wade when decisions are released in late June and early July. Chief Justice John Roberts has called the leak a betrayal of the confidences of the court and an attempt to undermine the integrity of our operations. Further, the Chief Justice has directed the Marshal of the Court to investigate the situation and find the source of who leaked the document to Politico. The politics of this are impossible to miss. The Senate minority and majority leaders weighing in.
Now that the court is poised to strike down Roe, it is my intention for the Senate to hold a vote on legislation to codify the right to an abortion in law.
Americans cannot receive a fair trial if politicians, pundits, bullies, and mobs get a say in court.
For this and more, we bring in our panel, co-founder and president of Real Clear Politics, Tom Bevin, Democratic strategist and syndicated talk show host, Leslie Marshall, and founding editor at the Washington Free Beacon, AEI resident fellow, Matthew Continetti. Matthew, I'll start with you. I mean, this is pretty shocking. If there's any place in Washington that was not believed to be the bastion of leaks, it's the Supreme Court. And yet, this is a big one.
Yeah, we've seen a growing attack on the court's independence, Brett, with calls to pack the court. We've seen leaks about Ginni Thomas and the wife of Justice Thomas. We've seen leaks about mask wearing in court meetings. And then, of course, the big enchilada, this leaked draft opinion that would reverse Roe v. Wade. And I think the question is, we have to limit ourselves to what we know. What we know is that as of February, there were five votes on the court to reverse Roe v. Wade. There were three votes in dissent, and there was one vote, Chief Justice John Roberts, that was kind of up for grabs, an island unto himself. We know that the opinion is very strong legally. It's 99 pages. It has an appendix. It is well-reasoned. It's written by Associate Justice Sam Alito. What we don't know is where things stand now. And we have the statement from the Chief Justice today, Tuesday, May 3rd, saying that while the leak is authentic, it is not the final opinion of the court.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, it's tough to play the political game and say, what is the impact of this until you get the final ruling. Tom, but if you look at this issue, how much do you think it plays as we are 6 months from the midterms?
You know, it's impossible to say. I mean, I went through the polling on this. There was a Quinnipiac poll that just came out last week, and it had they offered voters 11 different issues, and abortion ranked tied for seventh at 5%. I mean, it was orders of magnitude. Inflation was number one at 31%, then immigration. So it was well down the list.
However, let me interrupt. I mean, that was before the threat of Roe v. Wade being overturned.
Sure. I mean, but the point is, so we'll see where it goes from here. Is it going to jump up to be the number one issue, number two issue? How's it going to play, right, with independence? I mean, so there's a lot of political uncertainty around this issue. It is, I think Democrats think that it is an issue that will do the one thing that they've been thus far unable to do, which is unite and energize not just the left-wing base of the party, but also moderate and swing voters, right? All the other issues that they've been dealing with, immigration, Title 42, inflation, you name it, those two sections of the voting electorate have been sort of out of sync. One would please the progressive base, but alienate swing voters and vice versa. And that's a box that Biden and the Democrats have been in for some time. I think Democrats think this is the issue that could potentially motivate not only their base to really get fired up and turn out in November, which they need, but also to win back some of those moderate suburban women around the country in swing states where they have been losing ground, where they had made ground up against, you know, during the Trump years, but had lost ground seemingly in the last, you know, year and a half.
Leslie, obviously Democrats, including Senator Schumer, are focusing on the impact as if this ruling was the end ruling. And what they're going to try to do to fight back. Republicans, meantime, are focused on the leak and the threat to the institution of the Supreme Court. Where are you?
I'm a Democrat, I'm a woman, and I could talk for hours about this, but I won't, I promise you, Brett. The Supreme Court is clearly in disarray. This is an extraordinary breach, and Chief Justice Roberts called the Roe v. Wade leak a betrayal. But let me tell you, as a woman, and not just a Democrat, but an American, how voters are going to come down. Tom, I love you. You don't need to have polling for this. I'm going to give you my crystal ball clairvoyance on this issue. On the right, Republicans have long time feared that Democrats would take away their Second Amendment right. And that's a huge issue. Even when it's not top 10, if it becomes an issue, it definitely can motivate voters because they fear and unjustifiably fear the Democrats are going to take their guns away. I have to say, when the Handmaid's Tale talk came out, I thought that those on the left in my party were being a bit dramatic, very similar to those on the right that think they're going to take away our guns and our rights and our Second Amendment. Well, now this is, if in fact this leak is, the leak is true, but if the final vote comes down to mirror this, then this is not drama. This is not, you know, a grassy knoll. This is a reality. You are looking at women. You were looking at youth. You were looking at the majority of voters who will feel betrayed because justice after justice, when they were being confirmed, and even those who had already been on the bench said that they weren't going to mess with this. They weren't going to go back with precedent on former rulings. And this, the majority of Americans, not just women, even if they are pro-life, favor a woman's right to choose, certainly not late third term abortions, but we're talking about the first trimester especially. So I think politically, people are saying prior to this that Democrats, it'll be a bloodbath in the midterms, it'll be a tsunami. It would be a bloodbath and a tsunami, in my opinion, for Republicans if this were to happen.
Can I just offer
clarify one thing? I mean, to be clear, even if this ruling comes out, it does not outlaw abortion. It passes the decision to the states to vote on it. And there are a number of states who have already passed laws making abortion illegal. You're right. But there are a number of states that have abortion on the books. That is legal.
There are more states, actually, that have abortion on the books than
34.
Have made it illegal. There are 17 states that have Roe codified in either their state constitution or in legislation, plus the District of Columbia. And there are 13 states that have banned abortion with various exceptions that would become the law in those states if this decision holds. And then for the rest of the states, it is in the democratic process. And that what Leslie's describing is exactly the point. We should have an argument over abortion and how we should regulate it, like most other Western democracies do. And so this is just the start of the debate, not the end.
All right, Tommy, you were going to interrupt.
I was just going to paint an alternate version of what might happen, which is a couple of things. I mean, you know, number one is, how big does this issue grow to be on the minds of Americans, and will it motivate, you know, how many minds is it going to change, especially if, you know, November comes around and there's still $5 or $6 a gallon gas, inflation at 8-9%, and, you know, groceries and everything else. I mean, will is that going to be the driving issue among voters? The other thing is, we are still 6 months away from the election. And to the extent Democrats try and use this as whip up outrage, can they keep the outrage going at the speed with which things happen in America these days? News, you know, news cycles travel. It's going to be very difficult, especially if the sky doesn't fall, as Matthew points out. Some of these debates have already been taking place around the country. This is not, you know, this isn't automatically turning America into the handmaid's tale. And once voters realize that, it may not be as potent an issue for the Democrats as they think, particularly if the economy, which is still the number one issue, and I expect it will remain the number one issue, you know, continues to be a drag for Democrats and a real, you know, a concern of the American people.
You know, I don't do this on the show, but hearing from various sources about the investigation and what's going to happen to try to find the person who leaked this, there's all kinds of working theories out there. One is obvious, is that some liberal clerk wanted to get this out, saying that this is, you know, going to happen. And, you know, for one reason or another, that's the leak. The other one is more intriguing. It is a conservative who is threatened by the fact that Chief Justice Roberts may try to water down a final version in another case and maybe peel votes away from what had been decided in this particular case. And that, fearing that, some conservative has leaked this to make sure that the world knew that Roe v. Wade was voted 5-4 to be overturned, and lock in those votes, essentially. So those are all speculative, investigative kind of things. But Leslie, it is interesting to think about the motivation of why somebody does this.
Yes, and I know my party's going to be angry with me and the people on the left, but I would go to Vegas, Brett, to say it was somebody from my side. Yeah. and the reason is, you know, just because of a lot of things that, you know, you've heard Tom and Matt, you know, talk about, you know, whether it's immigration, whether it's crime, whether it's gas prices. And certainly when you look at the polling and words like bloodbath or tsunami, you know, also because this is a huge issue for people on the left. And it doesn't just tie into, God, so many things, you know, who makes this decision? And Republicans would say the federal government shouldn't, you know, make this decision. Some people say government should make this decision at all. But it also goes into, you know, if states, and we've already seen, you know, make these decisions, well, what's the future for those states? Because there are numerous companies that I think would pull their business out. We've seen it happen on a local level in some states already. And then when you just look at going forward, there's another issue, which is in this leak, if it is from somebody on my side, not only does it, you know, you're yelling fire in a crowded theater, it could motivate people to vote. Democrats don't typically vote in numbers like Republicans do in the midterms. And two, it could also start not just the conversation, but more momentum for adding seats.
We'll hear from our panel after this. This is NASCAR driver Tony Breidinger inviting you to make a pit stop at Raising Cane's for craveable, hand-battered, cooked-to-order chicken fingers.
Chicken up.
Crispy, crinkle-cut fries.
Hot potato coming through.
Buttery Texas toast.
Toast walking.
And secret Cane's sauce.
Topping off now.
Turbocharge your chicken fingers and get them even faster when you order online or with the Raising Cane's app.
Go, go, go!
Raising Cane's chicken fingers. One love. Raising Cane's is not affiliated with NASCAR.
Matthew, let's turn to these primaries, Ohio, Indiana, Ohio being the most interesting. And we'll have results tonight, but heading in, it was really tight with the Trump-backed J.D. Vance having a bit of a setback in the final days in that the former president said he was J.D. Mandel, which is the last name of the opponent who's closest to J.D. Vance, Josh Mandel. It'll sort out here, but looking at Ohio, looking at Pennsylvania, looking at Georgia, looking at other things, this is a litmus test a bit of the former president's power.
It will be, Brett. These next 2 months of primaries will really test the power of a Trump endorsement. And they will be a test because Trump has wanted it that way. He has a view of the endorsement privilege of a politician that many others don't share. Typically, you look at these endorsements, don't matter. And so tonight in Ohio, we'll have the first case. We know that Trump's endorsement of J.D. Vance gave Vance a boost heading into Election Day. But it is not a commanding boost. It didn't launch him into the stratosphere. In several of these polls, undecided remains the chief vote getter. And the lead that Vance does have is tight with not only Josh Mandel, another Trumpy alternative, but also Matt Dolan, who subscribes to the America First agenda, but hasn't backed Trump on some of his election 2020 related claims.
Yeah. Tom, you're the poll guy. We've just got new polls coming out today. I'll be out on special report, but just a couple of the condition of the economy, good or poor. March of 2022, good was 26%, poor was 74%. Now good is 21%, poor is 77%. And then how much longer will inflation be a major issue? A couple of months, several months, another year, more than a year. So more than a year, 45%. And they think that that's going to last for quite some time. So there's a lot of hardship numbers coming out of these latest polls.
It's fairly grim for Biden and the Democrats pretty much everywhere they look. And, we're in, May. This is when the cake is baked. I mean, this is when, perceptions harden. I think in our current tribal environment, in some sense, the cake may already be baked. I mean, there is the landscape is sort of set. And barring, again, maybe this Roe v. Wade decision is going to flip the script and really change the political landscape. But as far as the economy goes, it's not great. But just real quickly on Ohio, I mean, Donald Trump endorsed J.D. Vance on April 15th. Vance was sort of languishing in a distant third place. He was at 10.5% in our average. Now he's at 26%. So, 2.5 times basically just in the final couple weeks. But, Matt Dolan is surging as well. I mean, he's got legit momentum, seems to be, sprinting through the finish line here. And to the extent that all of the anti-Trump, establishment folks coalesce behind him, he could pull this out tonight. It's going to be really close. I think Vance might hold on, but Dolan could certainly win it. And again, it's going to be, fair or not. I think Trump's going to, he'll either take the credit for it or he's going to take the blame, despite the fact that he literally picked Vance up off the floor just a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah. Well, either way, the former president is going to be a big part of the midterm campaign. You can
absolutely see it.
Everything is talked about. Senator Schumer on the floor saying this is Trump's party while talking about overturning Roe v. Wade. So, Leslie, that's part of the plan, the blueprint. But if you're a Senate candidate, let's say you're Tim Ryan in Ohio, who looks to be going on to a decent campaign focusing on workers and the economy and Rust Belt issues. Do you change tactics now with this Roe v. Wade, what looks like to be a decision, and focus more on that rather than your Rust Belt worker focus? Or do you risk something by doing that?
You do risk something by doing that, Brett, which is why I would say, you know, do both, walk and chew gum at the same time, which certainly Tim Ryan or anybody out there running can do, because, you know, workers' rights, you know, Rust Belt issues, union issues, you know, blue collar worker issues are huge, especially in the state of Ohio. But, you know, this leak definitely speaks to that. And again, the women and the youth and some of those women and youth who may not be having, you know, workers, you know, rights and, you know, issues about the middle working class as number one, you know, of importance to them, you know, as voters. You know, you had mentioned, Brett, that this is going to be a test of Trump. And I would agree with that. But I think even more so, this is going to be a test of who is the Republican Party going to become in the near future from where it is now? Is it going to become more of a Trump party as it was, you know, when he was president and leading up to that? Or is it going to take a turn? When you look at Ohio, you know, you have J.D. Vance, who's backed by Trump. But then you have, you know, as these guys had mentioned, you know, Matt Dolan is just surged that state senator who Trump specifically is not endorsing. So you have like a battle of, you know, the, you know, anti-Trump and Trump Republicans, you know, within the party. And that could actually help or hurt Democrats after you have the chosen ones in the DNR categories when they get out of the primaries and go on to the general elections.
Yeah, and these are the first of many, and we will see a lot start to come to the fore as we get ready for the midterm 6 months from now. All right, thank you so much. Now for a bit of history. 1982, President Ronald Reagan began a series of Saturday radio addresses to the nation. During these addresses, he would informally discuss current events. Not unlike Franklin Delano Roosevelt's fireside chats, no other incumbent president had spoken to his constituents through the radio. Slated for only 9 talks, the addresses quickly gained popularity, and the radio address would continue for the rest of his presidency. That'll do it for this week. You can hear more of this series at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you download podcasts. Make sure to leave a rating and a review. We want to hear from you. For Tom, Leslie, and Matthew, I'm Brett Baer. We'll see you next time.
The Will Cain Show is now dropping 5 episodes a week. Join Fox and Friends weekend host Will Cain as he tackles the latest headlines from his unique perspective, along with thought-provoking interviews with leading figures and live calls from viewers and listeners. Listen wherever you download your favorite podcasts.